Hi, I'm David Yak with Colorado Technology Consultants. In this session, we're going to look at publishing a solution. So in prior sessions, we had already built an unmanaged solution. If you recall, it's kind of around kids and kind of tracking some of their stuff at home. We're kind of taking, using CRM for everything we possibly can. In this section, we're going to go ahead and figure out how to publish that. So we're going to start off where we already have the solution there. Real quick, let's just jump over and just see what we have. You'll recall that we had this Contoso School module that we built, and in that we have a couple of components that we've added. We've renamed Contact to Kid. We have a grounding idea custom entity. This is where we track our ideas on how we might ground the children. And then we also have a custom activity. If you recall, custom activities are a new feature of CRM 2011 that allow you to have activities just like you would have for email, fax. Well, in this case, I want to be able to track the grounding, so I've gone ahead and added that in there as well. What we're going to do is get ready to export this. There's a couple things we may want to keep in mind as we get ready to do that. One of the things you can do is provide a configuration page. A configuration page with a solution gives the end consumer of that solution, so in other words, whoever your customer is, an idea of how they might configure that solution. It could just simply be a HTML document that lists some steps that they need to take after installing the solution to make it fully configured. It could be active content. It could be where that page itself is a web resource with jQuery or HTML type content that allows them to click some buttons and say, I want to, turn on this option. It could be a Silverlight component that's on that page. All of them giving a little more active content to be able to work with. Let's just real quick look at what it takes to go ahead and build one of those. So here on my solution, if I go to the information page, you'll notice I have this this lookup for a configuration page. What this is allows you to do is pull in web resources of type HTML. You remember I said it could do Silverlight also, so remember that you can have Silverlight that's referenced by a web resource component. You'll get into that more when you go through that module, but for right now, I'm going to go create a very simple HTML page that we'll use as our configuration page for this solution. So I'm going to create a new web resource. We'll call it config page. I realize that's original. The name. So anytime you're naming, just like an entity for the, the actual logical name, you want to have that not have any spaces. But here I can say config page with a space. I'm going to pick a type. This is going to be HTML. The language is going to be English. And I'm not going to upload a file. I'm just going to use the built-in text editor. No instructions, this release. I know we're providing them a lot of help, aren't we? We'll go ahead and save that. But after all, we want to show you how you set up a config page, not necessarily write release instructions. So we'll go ahead and save that. Go ahead and choose that as our config page, and that's now set on there. And so where that comes into play is when we export that and import that as a managed solution in another system, that'll be available for them to view and see what steps they might need to take, or release notes, or however you want to use it, active config content for, setting up sample data. Those are all viable uses for that when you're there. So now we want to distribute this. So this is where we're going to export it. If you recall, there's a couple ways we can export it. We can export as unmanaged. That's what you typically do if you're moving from one system to another. Or in our case, this time, we're going to export it as managed and use that to import into a target system so we can see how that behaves and some of the ways that works as we go through updates. When we do this export, it's a delta that's exported, so we're not bringing in anything that we didn't change as part of the solution we're exporting. So in our case, we're going to come over. And we've got, if you recall, a couple of entities in here. I do want to do one quick thing before we export this to the grounding ideas. I'm going to go ahead and go into manage properties and mark this, make sure this is already marked as can't be customized. And so that one we've changed to not be customized, but our grounding custom activity, we've left that alone, and we're going to allow customizations to happen on that by our customers as we get that out. I want to basically go ahead and export this, so let's go ahead and close this out. I'll just come here, select that row, go ahead and hit export. You always want to make sure that you published all customizations before you export. And this is true whether you're doing unmanaged or managed. You want to make sure that it represents the published state of all the entities, and you've published everything, all the changes that you've made. Nothing's more frustrating to realize that you didn't publish a form change. You get it over to the target system and something wasn't picked up just because you didn't publish that solution there. So I'm going to go ahead next. It's telling me that there's some components. I see it's part of the system solution, so this I'm not going to worry about it at this point. If that showed another solution on there, so let's say I took a dependency on another solution, but I hadn't added all the items into my current solution that I'm working with, it would tell me that I have a dependency that's unresolved. And that's okay as long as that is already in the target system. You don't have to include everything in. It's making you aware that you have a dependency that you need to be able to take care of. I could choose to include settings. I'm not going to do that. This is where I'm going to choose manage versus unmanaged. We're going to go ahead and export it as a managed package. I'm going to go ahead and save this off. And what I'm going to do at this point is go ahead and change organization. So I'm changing from Contoso to Contoso 3. This is another, pretty much empty organization at this point. I'm going to come in here. I'm now changing roles. So you can think of me now as pretending to be the customer that just received this excellent solution. And we're going to come over and import this. So I'm going to choose import. I'm going to browse. Go find the solution that we just exported. So, this could be transmitted, through a thumb drive, or it could be more official where it's in the Dynamics Marketplace where they've clicked the try link, downloaded it, and they're now getting ready to install it in their organization. I can go ahead and click next. At this point, I get the option. It's going to tell me what the name of it is, who the publisher. That it's a managed package. If I started to import a unmanaged package, it's going to give me a little more warning because a managed package I can undo. I can basically uninstall and it pretty much leaves the system the way it was. If I import an unmanaged solution, I can't just simply say delete that solution. I'd have to go individually remove the components. So if I was importing an unmanaged, you'd see a little bit more warnings on here. I can choose to look at the package details. So if I want to know what's in it, maybe I don't blindly want to install just any solution without knowing what might be changed, what the components are. So I can look at this and I can see that it looks like there's a grounding entity, a grounding idea. Looks like they've reused contacts, so they're changing that and include some labels. Looks pretty innocent. I think I want to go ahead and install this in my organization. So I'm going to close this and go ahead and hit next. At this point, it's going to ask, do I want to activate any processes? And what it's talking about, if I have any workflows or plugins that have been registered as part of that solution, this is where I would indicate that I wanted to do it. I don't have any in this particular solution. One thing to keep in mind is if you don't do this, you can still go later and manually do this yourself. But this is easier because you do pick up the settings that were intended by the publisher at the time they packaged it and exported it, where if you do it later, you kind of have to figure out the things that you have to activate by looking in there and making sure you activate all the right stuff. So I believe it's a little easier to do it up front when you come through here. So I'm going to go ahead and hit next. And it's going to go ahead and import this into the system. Okay, now that the import is completed, you'll notice that we now have some statistics that show us, some results that show us what's happened. It does a line by line telling us, what was imported. You'll notice the detail says none. If we had any problems, this is where you would see that. It would actually say failed, and you would see on the line item, you might see a message indicating a little bit more. You can download the log. So this is particularly important if you have any type of error. You can download the log, send it back to the publisher so they can work with you to resolve the problem. Now let's go ahead and close this. And our solution now appears on the list. Now you'll notice it has a different package type. Previously it had a package type of unmanaged. It now shows us a managed package. I can come in here and do some stuff with it. So for example, I can open it up and I can look around. I can still see the items that are in it. But if I try to go into these in detail, you'll notice that I don't have the option to create a new entity. I don't have the option to remove that entity from the solution. The solution is, for all practical purposes, locked down for me being able to change any aspects of it. And so just to make sure this is installed in our system okay, we'll notice that if I refresh, that now we have over here, we have kids showing up. And if I create a new record, we'll be real descriptive in our kid names, kid A. And you'll remember one of the other things I created was a custom activity. So if I come over here to other activities, you'll notice that my grounding activity is now showing up on there. So it brought that in from our solution as we installed that. You can update solutions also. So in our case, we did the simple install. Updating comes into play when you have version 2. Maybe they didn't like all the stuff. They gave us this great feedback. They said that, you know, they'd really like a recommended punishment indicator on there. So they wanted a flag to be able to set that this is their preferred one. So we decided to implement that in our next version. So as that comes through, you can basically increment the version number on the solution. The version number is metadata, kind of to give everybody, you know, communication purposes, but doesn't necessarily prevent somebody from installing an older one or newer one. It's just metadata along there. When you do that update, though, it maintains all the customization that the customer might have done. So in this case, the person installed my school package might have added a couple of their own fields to the grounding entity. They don't want to lose those every time that I have an update and have to redo it. That's always been a problem with package software. CRM 2011 addresses that by allowing those customizations to be maintained as an update comes through. So let's go take a quick look at doing that. So I'm going to go over, first of all, to my solution here. I'm on the customer organization, and we're going to go do a quick update. Now, remember I said that you can make further changes. Just because it's managed doesn't mean you can't make additional changes. It just means you can't change that particular solution. So I have two choices. I could make the change in default, or I could create a new solution. And this is my kid customizations. And we'll just take the default publisher. And what I want to do is I want to go ahead and make a change to that grounding ideas entity. So I'm going to do an add existing entity. And these are going to be custom ones that are in there because I know that it's easier for me to get to them that way. I'm going to choose the grounding idea entity. And at this point, now I can go make changes to it in my own little sandbox. So I'll go go add on to the form, actually. Do you see my problem? This is what the customer would see when you've locked it down. If you recall, what I did is I actually locked this down so that the customer wouldn't be able to make changes. We use the managed properties, remember, to say that we don't want any customizations. And because of that, notice that none of this is there. So I'm probably not going to be able to do that. I'm going to have to go make the changes to a different entity or implement the solution another way. That's an example of, if you were doing this in real life, you might want to be open for those customizations and be a little more particular, maybe lock down just the fields rather than the whole entity, because in this case, I'm locked out from being able to do what I want. Let's switch back gears, so we'll give that feedback back to the ISV and make sure that they're aware of that. And maybe in the future, they'll be a little more open to changes. So I'm going to switch back to the other side, and let's build a change to the version of our solution. So we're back over as the ISV. I'm going to come into the solution. First thing we're going to do is go to our information section. And just to keep, you know, so that we have good documentation, we're going to bump the version number on that. Go ahead and save that. And we're going to come down into our grounding ideas. They asked us to make that change since they couldn't, so we're going to go do that. Notice I'm going into the form. You can actually add a field in a couple different ways. I could go to the fields section and then go back over to the forms. One of the nice things they added is the ability to just come in here and say new field and go ahead and add this. We'll just make it recommended. We'll make this a two option. default to no. Save that, go ahead and drag that onto our field, our form, and save, publish. And so now we're at a point where I want to go ahead and export this again. I know I just published, so I'm not going to bother doing that again. Kind of speed through these. We're going to export again as managed. Save this off, the 1.1. And now we're going to switch hats. We're going to go back over as the customer. They've got that on there. Now I am going to go do a quick little thing here. Let's come over here and import this. And actually in my own customizations, let's just kind of do add a field to the kid record. So we're going to add existing entity. And come into that. We're going to go to the forms. And we're going to go ahead and add a field on here. We're just going to drop the full. Actually, we'll drop this in the header. So I'm going to switch here. One of the things they added is you can now have header and footer. So I'm going to add in the header. I'm just going to go ahead and drop into there the full name. Save and close. Publish all. Remember, I'm in the context of the customer now, so I'm doing customer customization on top of that. And finally, we're going to go ahead and import now that update that they brought us. So come down, and in this case, I want to bring in the 1.1. And here you notice that when we went through this, it's a little different than what we saw before. It's telling us that this is an update to the solution that we already have installed on our system. And it's showing us the version information. Like I said, version is just metadata. You could, you know, it's not going to stop you from implementing an old one, but it is going to give you guidance that, you know, what the version the publisher is saying it is. Again, let's you view the details if you want. We'll go ahead and click next. Now, this is where it's giving me some choices. Maybe I made some changes that I wasn't happy with. I did it to work around. They said, hey, we fixed all that stuff. You might as well just back out. I may decide I want to go ahead and allow it to overwrite my customizations. But the most common and the recommended one is the maintain customizations. So the idea here is, for example, where I made that change, you know, to the kid entity, I don't necessarily want to lose that. So we want to be able to pull that together. So I'm going to go ahead and keep maintain the customizations. And I'm going to go ahead and let that import. Okay, so now it's finished. And again, it looks like it was successful, so that's all good. We'll see that now if we look in the list that our change, the version number is now 1.001. So it looks like it took our update. Our fields, actually we want to go back over to kids. And you'll notice that the change that we made to kid, we put the full name up at the top. It didn't get overwritten, whereas if we had taken the overwrite, we would have indicated that we wanted to take the full solution that they were providing and, you know, basically wiped out our customizations on it. The nice thing is you have the flexibility, and also the customer has some choices to make where they can decide that they want to, you know, maintain or not maintain the customizations that they've made on it. So that's updating solutions. When that happens, there's a lot of moving pieces that happen behind the scenes. I used a very simple example, but there's some things to keep in mind when you have conflicting stuff that comes in. So for example, you have maybe multiple ISVs providing solutions that are installed in a system. Remember, each of those are their own layers. The system is going to layer those on top of each other. So there is some install order that does play into in some scenarios, but there's also a lot of places where the application CRM is able to just keep the ISV customization separate. Simple things like I have two ISVs that added a field to a form in a particular section. You want to show both of those, and you want the system to resolve merging those and showing it. The application ribbon is another great example where, as you dive in and understand how customizations on the ribbon work, you'll see that people are doing commands. So as the commands for ISV A happen on the system and ISV B comes on, they're able to coexist together and the updates are able to work together and be maintained. If we look at this a little bit more carefully, we'll understand that there's things like the ribbon merging, which we'll actually talk about more in the UX section, but also some things around the form. So things like you want to be able to have, if to add the, you know, the same field, to have it them both show, because that's what both ISV wanted. One may have called it A, one may have called it B, but you want to be able to reflect those on. Forms can now have duplicate fields, so you're not going to have as much fighting. You'll see other things around hooking up events and stuff like that, where there's been a lot of work done to make sure that different ISVs modifying the same entity can coexist together. Things like the sitemap is another area. So that's the navigation of an application. It automatically, when you work with sitemap customizations, it recognizes that an ISV made changes to that sitemap. That sitemap is merged at the time it's installed into a target system to allow those changes to be added to that and be able to be detected. There are some things that aren't able to be resolved. A great example of that is we renamed an entity to contact to be KID. Well, in this example, you take that same thing, ISV1 renames it to people, and somebody else renames it to person. Well, that's where an example of the install order matters. So what would actually be reflected would be person in the system. It's just not possible for an entity to have two names at once. There has to be a single winner. So there are some things like that in the system that ultimately net out to the last one in wins, and you have to keep that in mind when you're building things. That's why a lot of cases, when we talk about ribbon customizations and different things like that, you're better off adding your own button rather than repurposing one of the existing ones, because you can have a little more control to ensure that at least if there's a conflict, that your button will always show in the solution. This is just another way of looking at conflict across the layers. So we already looked at the idea between how label might bubble up. If you have different people, all these are different changes through solutions, changing the name, whereas ultimately the last one in that case would win. Whereas on the other hand, buttons, for example, where this solution has a button S, you'll see that shows up all the way into the end solution. However, in this case, solution A has a button A, but the solution layer here, this is probably like a customer customizing it, decided to hide that. So the ultimate thing that's viewing to the customer is no button there. Another, bringing back to my example, if you want your button to always show up, you may not want to use, you may be better hiding the built-in one, adding your own button with the functionality, because that way you're always guaranteed that another ISV is probably not going to be out hiding your button in that type of scenario. All of this behind the scenes, there's a lot of dependency tracking that happens. So this is how they know one solution depends on another, or as a customer makes a change, or as you say, maintain customizations or overwrite. All those rely on understanding the dependencies. So there's a lot of work, and this isn't something you have to keep track of or have to build into your solutions. CRM 2011 takes care of that for you. You just have to basically play within the framework of providing the managed solutions. That allows the layers to be built, which ultimately results in dependencies. Those dependencies give the trackable, actionable items that are handled during the merge and update as solution updates occur. You can remove a solution. So what happens when you remove a solution depends on the package type of that solution at the given point in time. If the solution is an unmanaged solution, so for starters, you can't remove the default solution. So you're stuck with it. If you don't like the name default, sorry, there's nothing can be done. You're stuck with it. However, if you remember, we created in our scenario, we created that another unmanaged solution. We may have done that for just a quick change that we were going to make. One of the things I mentioned earlier is that you can't export a single entity. That's not entirely true. What you can do is you can create a solution that's just an empty solution, use it as a container for exporting just the contents that you want. For example, maybe I want to just change the ribbon and one entity contact. Well, what I might do is create a container, a solution that I put those two in, export them, make my changes, import them back in. And when I'm done, I could just delete those and it wouldn't hurt those entities at all, wouldn't lose my changes, because what happens when unmanaged is they just fall back to the default solution. Whereas on the other hand, with a managed component or managed solution, when I remove that, is effectively an uninstall. And the intention there is I give a solution to a customer, the customer tries it, they decide they don't like it, they uninstall that, it removes your assets from their system and leaves it back in a state like it was before you started. So a couple of things here. Let's go back over to our we're in the customer one, so let's just go ahead and do that from here. So I'm going to come into customizations, and I'm going to go ahead and remove and so you'll see here I'm removing a managed solution. All the components will be deleted. This action cannot be undone. Try to make sure you understand the significance of it. Okay, there it's completed. So we'll see that. Let's just real quick jump into here. You'll notice that this is our unmanaged solution that the customer created. They made some changes to the contact, which used to be called KID because our solution was installed. So not only did it roll back our other custom entities and things that it had in there, but it also changed this back so that it's now referred to as contact. So basically the idea is with a managed solution, you can install it as managed. They can uninstall it and leave the system back the way it was. Now let's go look at that from an unmanaged perspective. So I'm going to switch back over to the ISV organization we were using. I want to go back and look at that entity that we had, or that solution that we had. It was called another unmanaged solution. And just so that we understand what's happening here, we've only got one entity in here, kids. I'm going to go real quick, just add another. See if I can create a long enough name. So this is going to be entity from deleted unmanaged solution. Very practical name. And it doesn't know how to deal with the plural of that, so we'll just call it stuff. And we'll go ahead and save that. And what I want to show here is that when we ultimately remove this solution, this unmanaged solution, if you recall what I said from the slide, is that anything in it just falls back. It's just still part of the default solution. So there it's created, and what we're going to do now is just go ahead and remove that. And if we go look at default, switch over to entities, look at custom, we're going to see our entity from deleted unmanaged solution is still in there. So even though we remove the unmanaged solution, it's just a container. So you can create 14 unmanaged solutions. Remember, they all exist in the same layer. You can remove all of them. It doesn't affect the core contents of the organization with respect to the components that were in it. They just fall back to the default solution. So with that, we've looked at installing. So kind of the full publishing cycle. We've exported as managed. We installed it. We looked at updating, so we went back to the ISV side. We basically made a change, updated the version number. We saw how that came in. We saw how a customer could make changes on top of that solution. We also saw the frustration a customer could have if you lock down too much stuff. So again, managed properties are good, but use them in moderation. We then went back and looked at the removing of the solution and how that works with both a managed and unmanaged. With the managed solution, it basically puts the organization back the way it was. Customers need to keep in mind that it is removing those entities and the other customizations, so they want to make sure that if they needed anything before that, screenshot, things like that, that they took care of it. Whereas on the unmanaged side, it basically just rolls that back to the unmanaged solution.